I want to look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. So Moses' hands grew tired. Some versions, and we get to read the word in different versions, and some versions say weary or heavy. And I must say, I love the humanness of this particular line. I love that it gives us a little picture into Moses' life. Because sometimes when we look at Moses, we're like, but he's the guy that like took on Pharaoh, that called down the 10 plagues. He's the guy that parted the Red Sea and took a million Israelites towards the promised land. He's the guy that went and got the 10 commandments and spoke to a rock and water came out. He's that guy, and yet he got tired and weary like you and me. I can find myself in this scripture. Because I'd love to be like Moses. I'd love to walk in the things that God has for me. I'd love to walk in the purposes of God. But I am all too happy to find in the scripture that Moses too was like a human like you and I. That he was tired and he was weary. And I think some of us, perhaps some of you today, you feel like this. As you look at your life, it feels like it's a battle zone. You feel weary or tired. You're like, God, how much longer? How much longer do I have to fight this thing? How much longer do I have to stand? How come I haven't seen your breakthrough? I am tired, God. I am weary. Perhaps words like overwhelmed or exhausted or relentless. I actually heard the other day that the word fine has now been replaced by the word busy. So you used to ask somebody, how are you? And they'd say, fine. Now you ask somebody, how are you? What do they say? Busy. Other words are, how are you? Oh, stressed. How are you? Oh, exhausted. We've changed our language, and it's true because we live in a society that is so hustle and fast-paced, and so the kind of almost normal response now to how are you is tired, exhausted, busy, weary, overwhelmed. And this is where Moses finds himself, going, I know I'm in a battle, but I'm tired. What do we do when we got to have steady hands? I'll see if my clicker's working again. There we go. What do we do when we have to have, sorry, forgive me, steady hands in the battle zone? I'm going to read the passage again for us. And you can see that I've underlined a particular word. I'm going to underline five words in the scripture and share a couple of thoughts with you today. So let's look at the idea of steady. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. This word steady, when we find it in the scriptures, often refers to or represents the concept of unwavering faith. It speaks about strength and reliable action. I mean, I love my three kids, but when they bring the coffee through in the morning and their hands aren't steady and you spend more time cleaning up the stains than enjoying the coffee. And so God wants to give you and our stuff, but we need steady hands. The problem is that when our strength goes, so too does our steadiness. I don't know if you've ever been, and I've spent a lot of time in prayer and church circles where a particular pastor will say, hey, lift your hands, we're all going to pray. And your hands, after about 3 minutes, start to feel like I'm losing strength out here. Like, when is it appropriate for my hands to go down, but my heart still to be raised? And so our hands can get tired. And this fatigue that we feel is a problem, because often when we are fatigued, and the enemy knows, we then are more tempted to respond to our flesh, our feelings, to fads, and the enemy knows that, and so he tries to sap our strength. To be fair, when I am tired and weary, I become rash, I become reactive, I respond in a way that I know does not bless perhaps my family, perhaps my community, certainly not God. When my strength is gone, my steadiness goes, and then I begin to respond and react in a way that I wouldn't want to do. And so how do we make sure we have steady hands in the battle zone. Well, I'm going to go back to our scripture in Exodus chapter 17, and I'm going to show you another S. And it says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Church, the sitting of Moses at this time would have felt so counterculture, so inappropriate even maybe, because everybody was at war. How do you sit when you're meant to be hustling and fighting and battling and standing? And so for Moses to sit would have felt like the wrong response at a time in war. But I want to tell you, if you're battling, if you're in a space where you're wrestling and fighting and trying to see breakthrough, one of the things that God calls all of us to do is learn to rest, is learn to sit. And you're like, surely not. Surely I should be fighting. Surely I should be taking ground. Surely I should. And God says, would you learn to sit in the battle zone? Would you learn to sit in the presence of God? In fact, so beautiful that we sang Psalm 23 today, because one of the things in my notes here says that the very first thing the shepherd does with us in Psalm 23 is he says, I make you lie down. You know, God knows that we want to run and hustle and build in our own strength and operate and make a plan and boardmark a plan. And God's like, here's what I'm going to do. When you recognize that I'm your shepherd, I'm going to make you lie down. And then if you follow the text, that's where Andy was sharing about the resting of your souls and looking at the streams. See, the reason that God leads us to quiet waters, to still waters, is because it's only in still waters that we see our reflection. And it's in that reflection that God can start to restore our souls. And so, friend, the challenge for all of us is, are we sitting? Are we sitting in the presence of God? Have we learned and cultivated a rhythm of rest? God, our Creator, 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. In fact, there is enough there to share that God was not resting from his hard work, but he was resting for the work that is to come. If you look at the life of Jesus, he cultivated, even though there was demand and need and desire and a running after him and an entire list. You think your to-do list is massive. You can imagine the to-do list that everybody was trying to put onto Jesus. In fact, I read a thing the other day that said, it was a meme that said, being an adult is saying, next week we'll slow down for the rest of your life. And sometimes that's how it feels, right? You're like, look at next week. You're like, okay, it'll be fine. Just this week. I just got to get through this week. And friends, if we don't build a rhythm of rest into our lives, without knowing it, we started to bow to the culture of hustle, 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 of speed, of busy, of exhaustion, of rest. And so Moses, in the middle of the war, learned to sit. And my encouragement, my challenge to you is that we would too learn to sit, that we would learn to rest. It's in rest that we find fellowship. It's in fellowship that we find authority. You know, one of the beautiful things about Jesus, when the scriptures depict him in heaven, our Father, it says that he's sitting on the throne. And it just commands this idea, this imagery of he's not concerned. You and I are like, we got to do this, and if I don't do this, and if I don't do that, and I got to sort this out. And God's just sitting on the throne. And so you and I, we need to cultivate a rhythm of rest. It's a beautiful, ancient way of God, and we need to return to it. It's the difference between Martha and Mary. It's the sit at the feet of Jesus, so that we receive the authority that God wants us to walk in. And so my challenge to you is, do you sit with God with no agenda? Do you and I have it in our diary, or is he just on speed dial? Because many of us even in our mundane and our kind of years and years and years of following Jesus, we end up going to Jesus only on the speed dial when we need him, as opposed to, God, I'm going to sit with you because there's relationship. And so the first S, second S that we look at is that we sit. The next is found, and it says this: when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other. And so, friends, the picture is that there was a stone that was rolled, he sat on it, and then his hands were lifted up by Aaron and Hur. And so my challenge to you is, how are we going to have steady hands in the battle zone? Is we have to have people around us in our faith. Amen. People in our corner. People lifting our hands. People standing alongside us. People cheering you on. People in your corner. People reminding you of your faith. People reminding you of who God is. People reminding you of the commitment that you've committed to in marriage. People calling you to a higher standard. We need to have those people around us. In fact, I know that one of the values here at Vineyard Church is that it's family. And family stands alongside each other. Family holds up each other's hands. You see, you can be in a crowd and not be in a community. You can be in a service but not connect to the people in that service. And so my encouragement to you is, this is a family. And part of the family is that we're going to lift up each other's hands. And so I guess the question that you and I have to ask is there someone holding your hands? Or are you in isolation? Because one of the things that the enemy gets us doing in our own worlds and in our spiritual walk with Jesus is he gets us isolated. He gets us on our own. He gets us thinking, don't worry, I'll just make it, I'll figure it out myself. Whether that's pride, whether that's ego, whether that's we've been hurt, whatever it is. But we get isolated. And we need to have people lifting us up, standing next to us. Because your faith journey is personal, but it is not private. Do not confuse the two. It's personal. God loves you uniquely, but he hasn't called you to walk privately in your faith. In fact, your faith will never truly come alive if it's private. It's personal, but it's not private. Now, the two people standing on either side, Aaron, who we hear quite a bit about, because he goes with Moses and the Ten Commandments and so on, but we don't hear much about her. I want to speak about both of these two guys, because I think God's trying to show us something by these two characters. And so, when we look at the definition or the names of each of these two, I think I've got it on the next slide here. Aaron means mountain of strength, and Hur means liberty and whiteness. Here's what I think God's wanting to show us. On one hand, we need people who are going to be a mountain of strength, an encouragement to us. People who are going to cheer us on. People who are going to lift your hand and go, you can do it. We believe in you. We are for you. You want that mountain of strength. But on the other hand, we need somebody who will speak into our lives and speak into the purity, challenge us. See, often what happens is we get people alongside us in our faith that are only lifting one hand. I believe in you, I back you, you're wonderful, you can make. Those are absolutely important in our faith. But if we don't have people lifting the other hand that says, hey, Cole, how's your marriage? How are you going with your walk with God? How are you diving into the scriptures? What is God saying to you? How is God moving you on? How are you as a dad? How are you as a husband? We need, in order to find victory, friends, you need both hands raised. The mountain of strength, encourage, encourage, encourage. And the purity and whiteness, challenge, challenge, challenge. Problem is, if your faith is private, you'll never open up to this space of challenge, challenge, challenge. It's why one of the other values I know is that you guys are after real. We can't have a faith that is superficial, that looks one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. We need a faith. I'm not calling for perfection. I'm calling for spiritual sanctification, where we're on a journey of looking more like Jesus. You and I should look more like Jesus in 6 months. We should honor God for what He's done. And so this idea of these hands being raised, I think God is trying to speak to us around what He is doing. And actually, if we look at this particular scriptures, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So God is calling you not just to have somebody to raise your hands, but you to be raising somebody else's. And friends, you will find Jesus in the most remarkable way by lifting the hands of somebody else. And sometimes it's like, oh, I just don't have the time, I just don't have the effort. And so I want to just pause and ask you these two questions today. Who's lifting your hands? And if you can't think of somebody, you need to start asking God to be able to help you walk in this journey and say, God, who is it? And then the second question, whose hands am I holding? Because both are important in our faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, you can see the two kinds of friends here. You can see Aaron on the one side. It says, and let us consider ways that we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You can see that hand. It's Aaron. Come on, let's go. You can do it. God's for you. You're going to make it. You're remarkable. Sue, you're one in a million. You want those people. Then on the other side, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need those people. This is not as fun. This is not as fun. But let me tell you, if you allow God to use people to do this, your life will be really fun, because God will start to use you in the most remarkable ways. And to the degree that we let others sharpen us is the degree to which we become a valuable tool in the hand of God. And so we've got to open up our lives. And so I said it like this. I said, do you have people close enough to lift, honest enough to know, and humble enough to receive? I'll say that again. Are people close enough to lift? Are you honest enough for them to know and humble enough to receive? In fact, there's a wonderful thought around the scriptures. It says that we confess our sins to God for the forgiveness of our sins. He's the only one who can forgive. But it says we confess our sins to one another for the healing. And many of us are forgiven but not healed. We've received the work of the cross by receiving the penalty. I think you were actually sharing on this last week around the penalty of our sin being removed, but we haven't had the power of our sin removed. So we want to be able to share and say, hey, this is an area of vulnerability. This is an area I struggle with. This is my anger issues. This is my lust issues. This is my pride issues. This is my issues. It's a trusted space where you get people around you and you're able to journey. This is the real faith journey that I know Andy and the team are after here. So guys, we don't want to play church. We want to look like Jesus. We want to reflect God. And so, I want to tell you something interesting. Aaron, we know a fair bit about. But her, H-U-R, who's actually a him, but that's just confusing. So, her has a very interesting lineage. Her's father, his name was Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that went into the promised land with Joshua and came back with a positive report. If you look at the definition of her's family, I'm just going to see if I've got it here. So her's son, her's the son of Caleb, and he Caleb's name means different spirit. And because of Caleb's different spirit, he was able to give birth to her, who was able to lift the hand and speak about purity and whiteness. Then her has a son, and her son's name is Uriah. And Uriah means to be filled with the Spirit. You see, when you have a different spirit, if you don't look like the world, if you don't choose to bow to the music, if you choose to walk in the ways of God, counter to the ways of the world, you have a different spirit, you'll give birth to those who will live in the light of God, who will walk in the light of God, who will be filled with the light. And then Uriah's son, her's grandson, is a guy by the name of Bezalel, which means in the shadow of God. So the first walked in a different spirit, then gave birth to her, and her gives birth, who speaks about purity and whiteness. Purity and whiteness then gives birth to being filled with the light, and then being filled with the light moves into an even deeper relationship with God, and that is just, you're in the shadow of God. Doesn't matter where you go, the shadow is just here. It is a great prayer for my family that they would walk in the shadow of God. That they would walk, it doesn't matter where they go, there would be the shadow of God. Young men here, God wants you to walk in the shadow of God. The house of God is a beautiful place to gather the saints. But the presence of God is not here in a building. We are the temple of God. We walk and everywhere, and imagine we bring the presence of God. Peter's shadow healed people. If we walk in the shadow of God. And here's the beautiful thing. Some of you know this already. Bezalel is a very unique character. Because Bezalel, there's a piece of scripture spoken about him. Bezalel, we find in Exodus chapter 31, verse 3, it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Remember, this is the Old Testament. Very unique to be filled with the presence of God. And it says, and in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Some versions say creativity. Bezalel was handpicked by God to create and design the temple of God. And so the shadow of God released the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, and the creativity of God. And this is the lineage, the line, the family line of her. And so my encouragement to you is that you and I would look for friends who have spiritual fathers like Caleb, sons like Uriah, and grandsons like Bezalel. And then ask them, say, Andy, I need you to lift my hands. I need you to be in my life. But then, friend, you too need to be lifting the hands of those around you. And so let's move on and look at one more S. In fact, there are two more S's. And the first is, the fourth is, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And it is my prayer for you as a church that you would sit and have people side by side so that you can have steady hands, and that you would be able to have the rich blessing of seeing the sunset on your call and your ministry. In fact, I was preaching this sermon a couple of weeks ago, and my daughter got up early with me, and so I was going through the sermon notes with her, and she's like, Dad, I don't understand. What does the side-by-side mean? And at each point I'm going through, and we get to the sunset, she goes, Dad, I know this one. You don't have to tell me. She's like, I got it. You get to see the beauty of God. She just said, when you sit, Dad, and the sun's setting, and everything just feels right. And it is my deep prayer that you and I would get to see the sunset on the call of God over our lives. You see, there's a massive temptation, and perhaps some of you are here right now, to walk away from the purpose of God. You believe in Him, but you're no longer living for Him. You believe in Him, but life's just knocked you a couple too many times. And instead of walking in the purpose and the call and the destiny that God has for you, the very reason you were created, you've kind of just moved to a place of survival. See, there's such a temptation to quit on the call of God. Galatians 6 verse 9 says this, "Do not get weary in doing good. For at the proper time, if you do not give up, you shall reap a harvest." In fact, in Acts, it speaks about David. And it says it like this. It won't come up on the screen, but it says it like this. It says, "David, now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." And that is a prayer that I pray over you this morning, that you would serve the purpose that God has for you in this generation. Now, if you got weary and if you've quit and you've walked away, if there's been too much disappointment or heartache or bitterness or anger, today it is my deep prayer and call from heaven, I believe. Say, come on, you got to get back on. God needs you. God needs you. A friend of mine says, if you're not dead, you're not done. That same friend told me that there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Apologies for anybody who's thinks there is. But if you're not dead, you're not done. God needs you. And let me just speak to the older generation here. Whatever that age is. If your hair is gray or you don't have hair, it may be you. We need you. We need you. The next generation needs you. We need some bulls in the camp that can say, walk this way. Some of you are perhaps, I feel the Holy Spirit just speaking now, some of you looking at your own kids and going like, oh, where are they in faith? And God goes, leave them to me, but there's some spiritual sons and daughters I need you to walk alongside. And then I'll bring the right people alongside them. But we need you. You know, I was with a client of ours. I'm not in full-time ministry anymore. But I was with a client of ours, and we were talking about them, a junior staff member, graphic designer, walking in his kind of late 20s. Bless the Gen Zs. He walked in and he said to the boss, hey, I'm a far better designer than Billy Bob. He's in his 40s, and you know, I can produce better work, and I can do, like, I'm quicker, I'm faster, I'm better. How come he's earning double my salary? And the boss says to him, summer and winter. So young guy looks at him. Huh? I'm talking about salary. What are we talking about? He says, young man, summers and winters. He said, this man has walked for 20 years with me. He's walked through summers and through winters. You might be good, but I don't know what you're going to be like to work with through winters. Walk through a couple winters with me, and maybe we'll talk about your salary. And I want to tell you, if you've walked through summers and winters, and you're still following Jesus, we need you. There's a lot of young people that come to Jesus in the summer, but they don't know how to walk through the winter. And they need some people around them say, hey, this is the way. Walk in it. Love you. Love you even in your mistakes. Love them, church. Love them in the middle of their mess. Love them in their stupid, dumb decisions that they make. Because we all made them. And so, the last S says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. See, friends, he didn't just sit. He sat on a stone. He sat on the rock. And for all of us, we can sit, but on what? If you sit on your salary, or you sit on your comfort, or you sit on your skill, but we need to sit. We need to fully rest. We need to have our full trust and reliance. That's why it's such a beautiful song you guys singing about, I put my trust in God. Maybe we should sing that at the end again. But just sit, just fully rest on the rock. So you see, every time Jesus speaks about, it's not here yet, but every time we hear about the stone, it speaks about Jesus, the rock. Christ is the cornerstone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, it says it like this: "You are the coming Christ, who is the living cornerstone." But watch what God does here, of God's temple. So it's the cornerstone. When we do puzzles with our kids, they're 8, 6, and 4. When we do puzzles with our kids, we say to them, start with the corners. Find the corners. Sorry. Find the corners. Because if you can start with the cornerstone and you build from there, you'll start to see the picture. But don't try and build the picture without the corners. Friends, when you build on the cornerstone, when you rest and trust and rely on Christ, when it's Him and only Him, when He's your provider, when He's your source, when He's your supplier, when He's sufficient, when you rest and rely on Christ, we then get to do what the next bit of the scripture says. It says, but He was chosen by God for great honor, and you, every one of you, you are the living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. If I could go so far as to say, I think you and I are like Bezalel. Bezalel was this: I have filled him, I have filled you with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, creativity, business skills. God wants you to sit on the stone, to rest on the rock, to fully rely on God. He wants you to build from the cornerstone. But then He wants to release you to be a living stone in building His temple, His kingdom here on earth. And church, the beauty is, if you're looking at yourself and going, well, I can't, or it's too, I don't have the ability, or the friend, it's the Spirit of God being released through your lives because you're building on the cornerstone. And so how do we have steady hands in the battle zone? Well, I believe that we have steady hands in the battle zone when, just like Moses, you feel tired and weary and overwhelmed and exhausted and burnt out. All familiar to us and to the men and women in the scriptures. When you feel like that, we need to make sure that we take the stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, one with encouragement and one with purity, so that his hands remained steady. And he saw the sunset, the beauty of God's call over his life. And so, friends, I would love to close in prayer, and maybe I can. Can I ask the worship team to come back up? Is that okay? And maybe we can just sing that song. But as I close in prayer, there's a couple of areas that I'd love to pray for. Could you close your eyes just for a moment? I know the worship team are going to make their way up here. But there's a couple of areas, and your eyes can be closed, and I'm just going to take you through them. And I'm sure God's going to be ministering to each of you uniquely, right where you're at. I always believe there's one sermon preached, but 1,000 that the Holy Spirit preaches into each of your hearts. And so the first is, if there's anyone here, and steady is the word that gripped your heart. If you're here today and you're like, you're feeling weary and tired and your strength feels drained and you just know that you don't have steady hands. Maybe you feel like the things that God wants to give you, He just can't right now. Everybody's eyes closed. I just want to give a moment to anybody who feels they want to respond. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. I'm just simply going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. If that's you, you're like, God, I need you to give me steady hands. You can raise your hands now. Awesome. You can pop those hands down. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. And then if you're here today and you're like, hey, Cole, to be honest, the sit,
I just have not been sitting. I have not been resting. I have not sat in the presence of God. And you know that it's been hustle and work and in your own strength. And you know today that God is calling you to just sit. And you want me to pray for you in that area. Won't you just raise your hands right where you are? Awesome. Thank you. Bunch of hands going up. Bunch of hands. Thank you, Jesus. Then the next, if you're here today and you're like, man, I need people side by side. I need people who are going to encourage me. Maybe you've walked in here, and to be honest, nobody knows, but depression, anxiety, panic attacks, that's what's happening behind closed doors. Maybe your family knows, but nobody else. And you know that God's got your attention. And today you need to make a decision, God, side by side. I need people who will challenge me and speak to me. If that's you today, don't you want to just lift your hands right where you are? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. All right, you can pop those hands down. Fourth category, if you're here today and you're like, ah, Cole, the sunset on my call and ministry and purpose, I'm not walking in that. I've started living for myself, or I've just kind of quit on the call of God over my life, and you know that you know that you know that God spoke to you. In fact, there's somebody here today that God spoke to when you were 19, little, in your teenage years, and you know He spoke, He gave you dreams, and you haven't seen them materialize, and you know that you've got to return. Not to Jesus, you believe and love Him, but the call that's over your life. If you're here today and you just know, God, I need to return to the call, the sunset, won't you just raise your hands right where you are? Awesome. 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 Thank you. And then lastly, the stone. If there's anybody here today and you're like, Cole, to be honest, I might have known about God, but I've never fully given my life to Jesus. I've never fully rested on the stone. I've never actually received salvation. I'd love to just pray with you. So if you're here today, everybody's eyes closed, but if you're like, Cole, I need salvation, then won't you just raise your hand right where you are, just so I know who I'm praying with. Thank you. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else? Awesome. Okay, five areas. I am going to pray a couple of simple prayers, and maybe the worship team can just slowly start to strum behind us as we pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the word that you've spoken into our hearts. I pray first, Father, for those who just need steady hands, lost their strength, Father, thank you that you lead us beside quiet waters to restore our soul. Father, often it's our soul that needs refreshing, not our minds or our bodies. And so, Father, I pray for a steadiness. Thank you for steady hands. Jesus, thank you for those who just need to rest, to sit, to stop hustling, stop doing things in their own strength. Come on, why don't you just pray your own prayer in your heart right now, if that's you. Just saying, God, I'm done. I'm done hustling, done striving. I'm done having you just on speed dial. You're going into my diary. Daily in the presence of God. And Father, I pray for those who need people side by side. It takes great courage and great humility. But two things, God, you will give us. Courage and humility. So I pray that you would lead them to the right people. I know that the enemy will do whatever he can this week to diminish how important this is. But I pray that you don't let them go this week, that they make that phone call, that they have that coffee, that they share that area of their lives. And that, Father, out of this, we would see marriages restored, businesses restored, faith restored, addictions gone, anger gone, depression gone. We'd see supernatural healing. Friend, your faith is personal. It's not private. And Father, I pray for the beauty of sunsets. I pray that many would see the fulfillment, not many, all would see the fulfillment of God and the call of God over their lives. And then last prayer, I'm going to ask you all just to pray this after me. I saw two hands go up. I tell you, there's no prayer that heaven responds to quite like salvation. It says that all of heaven stands and cheers. And so there might have been more than two hands, but I'm just going to ask you all to repeat this prayer after me. Those who are praying this for the first time, you can just with all your heart, speak to Jesus. Won't you repeat after me? Say, Jesus, today, thank you for salvation, for saving me. Thank you for dying on a cross, for taking my sin and my shame and nailing it to the cross once and for all. Jesus, today, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.